Residents of a remote community have launched legal action in the federal court against the Northern Territory government, alleging they've failed to provide safe public housing against extreme heat. Papunya is located 250 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs and faces regular heat waves over 40 degrees. Backed by the Human Rights Law Centre, four Papunya residents are spearheading the case on behalf of their community, claiming decades of government neglect of public housing in remote communities and worsening climate are impacting the community and their health. The case is an Australian first, endeavouring to ensure a government landlord provides adequate housing for residents away from extreme heat driven by climate crisis. I spoke with Jack McLean, senior lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre, to hear more.
We're representing public housing residents in the remote Aboriginal community of Papunya, which is about 250 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs in the Central Desert. And our clients are bringing a landmark legal action in the Federal Court of Australia against their landlord, the Northern Territory government, for failing to provide them with housing that is safe to live in during extreme heat. Papunya is one of the hottest places in the world, where we're talking about a Central Desert community that is really on the front lines of the climate crisis. So our clients are bringing this case on the back of decades of government neglect of public housing in Papunya, which is unfortunately a common story right across the Northern Territory.
Can you elaborate, please, on some of the more nuanced experiences or concerns from residents and some of the applicants in the litigation?
Parents have told us about their kids getting heat stress and heat stroke, heat stroke's a fatal condition. And a lot of people don't know this about extreme heat, but it already kills more people in Australia than all other natural disasters combined. So a lot of our clients and the broader community in Papunya have relayed those concerns to us over the past year. They're really asking the Northern Territory government to step up and provide what we say is the most basic line of defence for people exposed to extreme heat, which is a safe place to shelter when it's too hot outside.
As I understand, temperatures there regularly reach 40 degrees. What needs to change in terms of, I guess, the construction of these public houses and the regulations of them?
One thing that a lot of people don't know about public housing and that we kind of gloss over is that public housing residents are renters, and the same legal protections that apply to renters of private dwellings apply to public housing renters and apply to renters in remote communities like Papunya, who pay rent and have a contract with the government, which says that in exchange for that rent, their landlord needs to provide them with a place that is livable, which is the most basic legal protection for renters in Papunya and across the country.
Just further to that, you've obviously noted that houses are lacking basic thermal protections or adequate insulation, shading, air conditioning. In terms of legislation and building codes or construction codes in the Northern Territory, how does this comply or fall short?
So every building act in each jurisdiction around the country puts in place the National Construction Code. In doing so, states and territories can choose to amend parts of the code. Most of the time, they don't. One part of the code deals with thermal performance or energy efficiency. What that means is just how easy is it to heat and cool a house. The national standard is 7 stars. The Northern Territory is the only jurisdiction in the country that says, no, that's too good for us. We're going to stick with 5 stars, which is an antiquated national standard. But it gets worse from there, because then the Northern Territory Minister has made a declaration under the Building Act to say that those standards don't apply anywhere outside of the major hubs in the Northern Territory, which means that in Alice Springs, where I live, or in Darwin, the full slate of protections applies, albeit at that 5-star rating. But in remote communities, there are no legal protections under Northern Territory building law. That's a huge problem, because our clients living in Papunya are living in houses that are arguably not built to code. They don't need to adhere to the code under NT law. And it contributes to this feeling that the Northern Territory government has exempted itself from the rules out in terms of building habitable residences in remote areas.
You said in a media release, this is the first case in Australia seeking to ensure that a government landlord provides public housing and protects residents from extreme heat caused by the climate crisis. I understand there is still a way to go, but how could this potentially set a standard for other remote communities across Australia? What are the hopes there?
Our clients' primary concern is to hold the Northern Territory government to account to raise standards in Papunya. We think that because of the nature of this case, there is a really good chance that if our clients are successful, that sets a powerful precedent for renters, not only in the Northern Territory, but also across the country, who are also exposed to a range of impacts from the climate crisis that are only getting worse, and is a message to them to say the renting laws give renters rights. The one of the primary rights that that us renters have is the ability to hold our landlord to account to make sure our house is safe and habitable. Governments across the country, and especially the Northern Territory government, need to start listening to Aboriginal people who actually have the solutions for these issues that their community face and have been caring for country and for climate for tens of thousands of years. There are Aboriginal organisations and communities just across the Northern Territory who are leading the solutions to extreme heat and public housing issues. That there are so many ingenious solutions out there, from bringing community into the design of public housing, making sure that public housing is not only environmentally safe but also culturally safe and culturally appropriate, and incorporating renewables into and rooftop solar into public housing, which is it makes so much sense in the sunniest place on earth that we would be harnessing renewable power to try to reduce the energy insecurity in remote communities, which is some of the highest energy insecurity in the world, studies have shown, and the power costs, which are completely exorbitant.
Jack McLean, senior lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre, speaking with me.